Welcome to Best Picture This, where it is always Oscar season. I'm Mike.
And I'm Brian. In this show, we reevaluate every Best Picture nominee from the 21st century and decide whether to keep it or kick it from its Oscar pedestal.
And when we kick things, it's similar to deleting them from our mental TiVos. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Fast forwarding through things like episodes on click.
I don't like the trajectory of this episode already. In 2006, the nominees for Best Picture were The Queen, Babel, Little Miss Sunshine, Letters from Iwo Jima, and The Departed. But today, we're going to stop and smell the roses. And by that, I of course mean talk about an Adam Sandler movie instead. And Brian, this is the only Sandler-produced movie to be nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
For Best Makeup.
Doesn't
the movie
count.
Is Click, the director, Frank Caracci. Here's the trailer.
The most awesome force in the universe, the most powerful device ever created, is now in the hands of one man.
Cool.
You wanted a universal remote? That remote controls your universe.
For me to do those documents, it's gonna take me months.
And you better get started.
Wow, I got a big headache.
You do?
So I can re-experience any part of my life I want to.
I heard a song playing on the radio this morning.
We have a song?
The song that was playing during our first kiss.
What the hell is that song? Do you have oh my God. Get it? That's my boy. Linger was playing during our first juicy kiss. You look beautiful in that pink sweater.
Honey, you remember what I was wearing?
I love you.
I love you too, honey.
Yeah. Skipping the shower and skipping getting dressed. And look at sexy. I like that.
Have you been drinking, Daddy?
The remote.
Making up.
Click it.
Is that my parents?
They're making you.
Get me out of here!
Takes control.
Stick's broken. He's fast forwarding on its own.
What else did I miss? Ever be there.
Adam Sandler.
You look a little pale there, pal. Let me fix that. Don't get the Hulk angry. You won't like him when he's angry.
Click.
Plants catch?
Yeah, but your kid stinks.
A regular Derek Jeter right there.
So basically, they put like all the worst parts of the movie in the trailer, it seems like.
In our preview, in last episode, previewing this movie, you called this maybe the least funny Adam Sandler movie, but this trailer seems pretty hilarious.
No, this trailer is not funny whatsoever.
Oh, those are all gold.
I can't even believe they put in the turning his face green in the trailer.
Yeah, the effects in this movie are aces.
It was ridiculous.
No, they're great. And also, there are farts in this movie, Brian.
So
there are
many.
Fat suits.
So
there's before, David Hasselhoff.
Before, you know, I've criticized you for being prejudiced against any like true-to-life movie.
Mm-hmm.
I am prejudiced against...
Which is not a fair criticism.
Comedies in general.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a hard time because most of the time there's like certain gags that work, certain deliveries are great. And then I often feel kind of, I start to get bored when the plot takes over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're more of a dramedy fan?
It was painful. The beginning of this movie was kind of painful. In fact, if you recall, I sent you a hate text.
Oh, I remember clearly.
I was like, we're 15 minutes into this. This better get better.
I think you even asked me, should I keep
should I
watching?
Really? Can we do a different movie? Can we do Spencer?
And I think I just responded with an Anakin, no.
Please try to commit.
Mm-hmm.
You said commit to this movie.
Commit, 100%.
All right. Well,
every time.
It was nominated for an Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
Lost to Pan's Labyrinth for Best Makeup.
Which, I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, not even close.
Yeah.
Although, again, the makeup, the scenes with the makeup started to make it a lot more interesting. I didn't hate the movie at the end, although the rest of my family did. Steve Corin and Mark O'Keefe wrote the movie, and they also wrote Bruce Almighty, which I definitely saw a lot of, you know, Bruce Almighty overlaps in the movie. Rotten Tomatoes gave Click a score of 34%, and we all know that it takes at least 40 to make my top five.
Yep.
The consensus was pretty funny. The consensus on Rotten Tomatoes.
It just says pretty funny.
No, it says This latest Adam Sandler vehicle borrows shamelessly from It's a Wonderful Life and Back to the Future and fails to produce the necessary laughs that would forgive such imitation. That's the Rotten Tomatoes consensus, which I thought it wasn't really shamefully Back to the Future to me at all. But and I was actually thinking of Christmas Carol a lot more than It's a Wonderful Life.
I was going to bring up Christmas Carol and still will bring up Christmas Carol later.
Save it for your questions. So this movie did win an award. Nickelodeon's 2007 Kids' Choice Awards for the favorite movie actor, Adam Sandler.
This also won a People's Choice Awards.
Variety put it in Adam Sandler's 10 worst movies ever.
What was the
what was the People's Choice that it won?
It won a People's Choice Award.
Yeah. Okay. But is Click a kid movie? Teen movie? Adult movie?
I'm going to say yes to all of them.
Date movie?
It's the perfect four quadrant hit.
Really? It's good for all ages.
Yep.
It was made for $82.5 million.
But it made all of that back and more.
It made $240, which means it was twice as good as The Queen.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Coming up in the show, we will ask each other three questions guaranteed to produce golden takes. We'll review some trivia and then the big reveal. Would you keep this movie in your top five of 2006?
I'm grinning devilishly.
I've heard you say before this movie is a masterpiece. It was a Facebook post.
Did I say masterpiece?
You said, no, you said, is Click a masterpiece?
That was a question, Brian.
Yeah, I know, but... You know.
You brought up Rotten Tomatoes. So let's go to... Let's start with Ebert and Roper because, you know, big names.
They're the kings.
We're not fans of Click.
Really?
I know that's probably surprising. They were not fans. Richard Roper said, I think if you're going to have a David Hasselhoff type of character and you're going to have the flatulence type of humor, then just go in that direction. Don't try to put in all the sappy stuff. In Ebert's review, which he titled, not remotely funny.
Very clever.
I got a good laugh out of you.
I wonder if he wrote that or if that was like Chicago Sun-Times.
Oh, man. I think he even all capsed remotely.
Not remotely funny. That is good.
He said, the movie is being sold as a comedy, but you know what? This isn't funny.
Correct.
So they had a problem with the genre blending.
Indeed.
Did you?
I don't generally have a problem with genre blending, but I just did not think that the funny parts were funny. I mean, I'm a party pooper when it comes to comedies. I will admit that. But the trailer, you would be blindsided totally by this movie if you watch that trailer and go in and think you're going to watch a lot of people falling down and getting punched for comedic effect. Because that is the goal at the beginning. But the second half starts to get awesome, actually. I mean, there's so much like genuine emotion and drama in Adam Sandler. And I'm like, this is the Adam Sandler from Punch Drunk Love. This is the Adam Sandler that shows up in, you know, he's good in Spanglish, not his best, but he's awesome in Uncut Gems. Like, he can do this.
Yep.
And he does it. He has moments where he has the opportunity to show his chops in this movie. And then I was like, okay, that's why Mike liked it. And that's why we're doing this.
We've said before too, that the trailer is a completely different piece of media
art. It's tricking you to go to the movie.
It is. It's
this movie is a trickery to get you to go.
The marketing is trickery, and we'll get into that more later. But let me read a little bit more from Ebert's review here.
I think I'll like this. Yeah, go ahead.
He said, the movie essentially involves a workaholic who uses the universal remote to skip over all the bad stuff in his life and discovers in the process that he is missing life itself. Take away the gimmick of the universal remote, and this is what a lot of us do, and it's sad. It's not just sad, it's brutal. Mm-hmm. He's using the word sad and brutal earnestly.
Absolutely.
To describe an Adam Sandler movie. How are those bad things? You know, he's not saying that he's calling the premise sad at its core. Fundamentally, the idea here is sad. To me, that means that it's daring. That means that it's doing something
new.
It's
true. I mean, it reminds me kind of Pleasantville, you know, where basically they're sucked into this through the TV. And that's not trying to be quite as silly as this is just trying to be flat out silly for a while in the movie. And even when it gets more serious, there's still a lot of sort of offensive silliness. I mean, it's got everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Trans jokes, yes. Gay jokes, making fun of sexual harassment jokes. Someone who becomes fat, that's hilarious just by being fat.
Yes.
You don't have to say anything or do anything. The fact that Adam Sandler is all of a sudden 350 pounds, that's hilarious, right? No, it's not funny at all.
But
all
this movie sells that it is. And that's why it's like confounding in one way, but also I like really respect it in the other way, because not only is the trailer misleading, but this movie is definitely being kind of packaged to be sold to kids. This is like a comedy for teens, but then like a Trojan horse, it packs in all of this, like Ebert said, sad and brutal stuff. And a movie about loss, I don't think is supposed to be this jokey. Mm-hmm. And a comedy this stupid is not supposed to make you feel sad.
Yeah. Or brutal.
Or brutal.
It's a totally apt word. We talked a couple episodes ago about there should be more movies about making a living. This one is another one. It's like the stress that is the most relatable kind of stress for a lot of, you know, middle-aged people. I'm middle-aged. You're still young, but you know, the tension there between Adam Sandler and his work life and his family life is like, that's what life consists of. Mm-hmm. So much for so many people. It's not all about grand adventures and all these kind of things. It's about just getting from breakfast to lunch to dinner to bedtime and trying to be happy. And so that's what he's struggling with this whole time, which again, it does echo It's a Wonderful Life in some ways in that way too.
But after just getting smashed over and over again with all these fart jokes, just boom, there's one, and boom, there's another one. Then it just veers into legitimate tragedy.
Yeah.
And it's like a sucker punch. And I'm going to admit to you, Brian, two times I almost cried during this
almost
movie. Two times.
Oh, come on.
Where just like you feel it welling up, and I'm like, oh my God, is it going to happen?
Let it flow.
Is it coming?
My first question to you is, what's the bigger stretch? That an angel of death has a remote control over the universe, or that the Fonz and Marge Simpson are married in the same movie? Henry Winkler and Julie Kavner, Adam Sandler's parents.
I would have to say the latter, I guess, because if we're gonna say that the angel of death exists, he can do things, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got some freedom to move around and work a little magic.
The Fonz, you know, a lot of the bit characters are quite effective.
And they're people who are after movie of Sandler's.
I forgot about the Arab jokes.
Oh, God, yeah.
At the beginning, it's like, oh, boy, it's just so cringy.
There's,
all right, what's your next question?
My next question. Okay, so let me see if I can summarize this movie in one sentence. Mm-hmm. It's a modern retelling of A Christmas Carol, but not set at Christmas, and full of slapstick comedy, but earnest tragedy, and meant for teens. Do you think that's...
I don't know if it's meant for teens. I really can't figure that out. I think that parts of it are meant for kids and some for teens.
Okay.
For those who haven't seen this movie, Adam Sandler dealing with, first, the death of his dog. I think that's when it changes. When he realizes that the dog died and he is broken about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so convincing. And then it just keeps on getting sadder and sadder with some fat suits thrown in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are still some jokes in the sad part, but pretty much we hit a point where this becomes a completely different movie. And just the fact that we can have this conversation, I can understand why people would be confused. Like, who is this movie for? You know, I get that. And Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 34%.
34%, yeah.
But it is the highest grossing movie to this point for Adam Sandler. You said $240 million. Yeah. And he didn't have like small movies before this. You know, this was after The Waterboy, Wedding Singer, Big Daddy, Anger Management, The Longest Yard, which all made a ton of movie, a ton of money. And Little Nicky was his first flop. That was before this. So it's not like Adam Sandler is immune to flops. So, yes, the trailer is misleading. But if people went to the theater and they hated this, Word would get out.
It wouldn't have made this much money. Yeah.
So how do we explain that box office?
I guess people like fart jokes more than I do, I think. Some other people do.
You think that this movie is living and dying by its fart jokes?
I think that what makes Adam Sandler funny to a lot of people, what make him great, is an adult being a kid who's basically a bully. He bullies other little kids. he's a dad who is so lovable because he's basically just like another one of his kids.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other kid next door is bullying his son and basically bullying him. So he just bullies him right back. And that never gets resolved. Like, you never see Adam Sandler growing up in this movie as far as being willing to bully another kid.
And the jerk kid that he's bullying's last name is O'Doyle. And that's a family that pops up over and over again in Sandler's movies as the bully and the jerk. So there's like a lot built up behind that O'Doyle name where you want to see that guy bullied because he's no good. The kid's trash.
But getting hit with a baseball in the face?
He deserved it.
So you would have gone to see this even with no dramedy at the end, even with no drama at the end.
Well, I didn't go to see this in theater. This was kind of after my time with Sandler. You know, like I remember there was a time where I was very excited about his movies and, you know, Up the Waterboy, even Mr. Deeds, maybe that was like one of my last ones where I would go every single time.
Yeah.
This came out, I was out of that phase.
But so. You had seen Punch Drunk Love. Did that renew your faith in him?
No, because I knew that this was a Sandler produced movie, you know, Happy Madison movie, and those are usually a certain type. Punch Drunk Love, Paul Thomas Anderson movie. Yeah. You're talking different league.
Well, my other questions basically we've already talked about. So, do you have any other questions?
Yeah. So Mark LaSalle, San Francisco Chronicle, he called Click one of the best American films of the year so far.
So far, did this come out?
It was probably the day after
January,
the movie came out in January. The filmmakers take what might have been just a gimmicky premise and pursue it meticulously, following wherever it leads. Along the way, they create a shrewd and moving metaphor for the way people live. And Trevor Johnston of Time Out called it a domestic tragedy masquerading as a frothy frolic. That second blurb,
That's good.
Is from a bad review. That sounds like a good
review to
me. And I just keep coming back to this, where people describe this movie in negative reviews the way that I describe it in a positive review. So my question is, I guess, why does this make us uncomfortable? You know, we always talk about how there's no originality left in movies. People are constantly whining about this. And then when a movie comes along that does something different, that tries to weirdly mix genres that were familiar in an unfamiliar way, you know, it freaks us out.
The problem, I think, is that there are no clues that it will eventually get you to this spot.
That's why it works as a sucker punch.
I don't think you want a sucker punch.
Oh,
so
yeah. Would I have teared up if this wasn't a sucker punch? Come on.
So the writers, I mean, Bruce Almighty was surprisingly good to me too. The comedy worked a lot better than the comedy in here. I feel like the writers, Steve Corin and Mark O'Keefe, it was like halfway through they decided, you know what? This movie sucks. let's just turn it into like a weird, almost like horror movie about aging and death. Mm-hmm. And Christopher Walken is going to now be like a scary guy in a cemetery. And Adam Sandler is going to get like ashen and be rained on while he's having a heart attack and dying of a tragedy.
Yeah.
That stuff was awesome, but I feel like it's more like they didn't really know what to do with it rather than they were planning this all along. That's the impression I get from watching it. Are there clues that it's going to go dark from the beginning?
I don't know. I mean,
maybe you don't need clues.
Yeah. I don't think that you need clues. I think that sometimes, I think that art is an emotional act, and sometimes that's not messy. And I think sometimes messiness is kind of part of the magic. If this telegraphed where it was going to go early, then I probably would not have been on board. But I think that the surprise that comes along with just thinking like, wow, they really went for this and to feel emotions in a movie where two scenes earlier, you know, Adam Sandler is in a fat suit kicking Samwise Gamgee in between the legs while he's frozen. It's a ridiculous contrast, and in some weird way that clicks for me.
Makes you happy.
It clicks for me.
I think I understand what you did there.
Do you want to hear some more bad reviews? Do we have enough time for a few? Because there are a lot. Sarah Michelle Fetters, moviefreak.com. This movie is a disaster on almost every level. Sandler insufferably mugging his way through it. Joe Morgenstern, Wall Street Journal. Click is an abomination. Paul Aaron, BBC. When the DVD comes out, I'm going to buy it and fast forward through the whole thing. You know, for vengeance.
So basically, we're getting, I mean, Click is getting the last laugh, because here we are 16 years later still talking about it. This is not a footnote in movie history.
No.
This is on Best Picture This.
This is not an answer to a trivia question. This is a movie people are going to watch.
It's still being discussed.
Last one, Michael Booth, Denver Post. Click is a 95-minute illustration of the difference between funny and laughable.
95 minutes. That is one redeeming quality.
I love a tight 90. Nothing like it. Nothing like it.
A few trivia points. Click was released on DVD and Blu-ray. The first dual Blu-ray disc released by Sony.
I love how you deliver that. Like, it was such a feat.
It's so exciting. Christopher Walken won Best Supporting Actor for The Deer Hunter. But as we all know, he's the most well-known for his role as record producer Bruce Dickinson.
Yes, yes.
In More Cowbell.
Yeah.
I was hoping you wouldn't know Bruce Dickinson.
No. He's got a prescription.
To help achieve his character's gaunt appearance before the third act in The Deer Hunter, Christopher Walken consumed only bananas, water, and rice for a week.
They didn't have makeup
on
set?
For a week.
I can't believe they're making me eat bananas.
That's pretty good. Christopher Walken was a
you get
Christopher
the
Walken was a big Elvis fan as a teenager.
Okay.
And according to Wikipedia, he changed his hairstyle to imitate Elvis Presley and has not changed it since. I have to say, it doesn't look as much like Elvis anymore. I think it's sort of changed. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess maybe he got thinner.
Christopher Walken was considered for Han Solo in Star Wars. What do you think? You like that?
No, I don't think so.
In my experience, there's no such thing as luck. Or is that? No, that's Obi-Wan Kenobi. In 1968, Christopher Walken played Romeo in Romeo and Juliet at the Stratford Festival in Canada. Wouldn't you love to see Christopher Walken as Romeo?
I would like it.
All right, Mike.
Keep it or kick it time?
Keep it or kick it time.
Tonally, incredibly daring, this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly.
Mm-hmm.
The comedic chunk, it has its moments.
No. It doesn't.
The drama, incredibly disarming to me.
It is.
And I really respect the combination of those
two things. I like the disarmingness
of
the movie.
Yes. And I think because of that combination, there is sneaky big ambition here, which you would not expect coming out of the, I don't know, 15 other Sandler comedies that came out before this.
You would not expect that from the trailer.
No.
Which begins and ends in fat suit territory.
Yes, certainly not from the trailer. I will say a definite almost. I'm gonna say definite in my top 10.
Definite in your top 10.
I'll say definite in my top 10. And I will say, I don't know.
If you put this in your top 5, it will be to send a message to Hollywood.
Listen,
that would be the only purpose.
Sometimes.
And Hollywood's not listening.
Sometimes you need to plant a flag, you know, for other people's benefit. They need to know that this is a movie worth watching.
Whose benefit are we talking about?
Oh.
Just the
listeners?
Oh,
there are dozens. There are dozens listening. How about you? Keep it or kick it?
It's a firm boot up.
Which means what?
I.e. the kick.
Okay.
However, I will keep it as a honorable mention for some of the most memorable scenes of the year, when he loses the dog and then at the very end when he, you know, kicks it.
When he's rewinding to say goodbye to the Fonz, who plays his
dad.
That's
also, it's great.
That scene
it is
kills
great.
Me. And then he rewinds it again, and then he kind of stands in front of him to say I love you to him. Just great moments in this.
Unironically, those are really great movie scenes.
Yeah.
So and it's interesting that you have such high highs and incredibly low lows.
And also, during the high highs, we're surrounded by these Tomorrowland sets that look kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And best makeup, I'm not so sure. Like, makeup sometimes looks
is that because of
crazy.
The fat suit?
Yeah, I guess.
Or is that because of when he's dying and, like, he's
no,
it's
I think
all ashen
I think it's
and
the,
weird?
I think it's the fat suit.
How could you possibly get nominated for an Oscar for the best fat suit? I mean, please. That should be not even be... It should be disqualified from even being considered.
I don't know, but the fact that I can look at a scene that I think is genuinely great, and it's kind of the set dressing is kind of genuinely bad. I just cannot figure this out, this movie out, and it's like a puzzle box to me, and I love it for that.
It's sort of like a rewatch, you know, every Christmas sort of thing.
I've watched it twice. I've loved it both times. I'm all about Click.
Oh boy. In the next episode, we will talk about the exact opposite movie of Click, which is Alejandro Iñárritu's Babel. I call it Babel. You say Babel?
I'm going to say Babel.
Starring Brad Pitt and Kate Blanchett.
Find us at bestpicturethis.com on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you listen. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Best Picture This. And for 16 years of golden takes, head over to Letterboxd/Mike Cavalieri.
I dare you, Best Picture This listeners, to become a patreon.com/bestpicturethis subscriber and suggest an Adam Sandler movie.
I would love that. I would love it. Thanks to WNZF and the illustrious Mark Gilliland for producing. Also, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the show.
Until next time, we are sorry, dear listeners, for shamelessly borrowing from It's a Wonderful Life and Back to the Future in this episode, and most of all, for failing to produce the necessary laughs. Chicken!